Welcome again to another edition of Irreligiosophy, and this week we actually find out who is more grating, me or Charlie. And why don't we have our guests introduce themselves?
My name is Patrick Orlob. I am a president, for lack of a better term, of Salt City Skeptics, which is a local group here in Salt Lake City devoted to skepticism and rationalism.
How many members in the Salt City Skeptics?
Well, we have of actual people who have identified membership, I'd say we probably have about 250, but that's a way overestimate of the number of people who are actually there.
We normally have members.
You know, we have probably between, I'd say, 15 and 30 people that we see regularly.
Basically, you're inflating your numbers like the LDS Church.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what I was doing, actually.
Do they have to go through a long process just to take their names off of your list?
How do you excommunicate them?
They send it to the membership records, and then we give them the runaround for a couple months.
Oh, excellent.
I can understand that. Do you send them a welcome packet once they are off it?
That's right. It's exactly right.
Well, anyway, how did you grow up? What was your religion?
Well, you're going to have the other guest introduce himself.
I'm getting his religion out first.
We'll get
his background. And sooner or later, this wallflower will come forward and speak.
My family was Mormon, but now particularly religious. I think that my family was pretty good about instilling in me a sense of inquiry and rationalism. So
they were Jack Mormon, almost by definition.
Pretty much, yeah. So I stopped identifying as Mormon by the time I was 13 or 14, so.
Okay, now we can move on to our next guest.
That's the only question you had for him?
I was just setting a precedent. Nice. We'll get to
it. That was it. Now he can leave.
That's it.
Okay, all right, see you guys
for being on the show.
Wait, we still have to find out. He is actually the one that's going to point out which of us is more grating. Now, my bet is Charlie is the one that's
I got all my chips on Leighton.
All right, go ahead, introduce yourself.
My name is Dave Browning, and I'm a member of the Salt City Skeptics, and I was told there was beer, so that's why I'm here.
Hence his presence, yes. And your background in religion?
He's never listened to an episode of Irreligiosity.
Yes. In fact,
before.
He got here and he started downloading an episode and wanted us to wait an hour so he could listen to one.
I thought it'd be more appropriate if I listened to an episode
before you come on.
Before you come and drink my beer. I bring beer for you, and that's all.
I brought a six pack, so.
All right. That's
I don't know, when was the last guest you had that brought a six pack?
And some donuts.
And some donuts. Okay,
and some donuts
true.
As well.
All right, I'll forgive you this once.
Everybody go to hell.
And he's kind of feisty, don't mind him. So what was your childhood background?
I was raised Mormon, and then I left.
Just up and left?
There you go.
And moving on.
That was many years ago, and I haven't thought about it since. So I've got a very dull story, very boring, very bland story.
I mean, I had questions when I was a teenager, but...
But
they kept drilling it into me, and I believed probably through college, and I think I lost my belief after college. But you, that's not the case. You never really believed.
I don't really think I had much of a belief at all, to tell you the truth. I kind of tried in my first marriage, but she wasn't enough of a believer to change my mind. I don't know. I didn't really care.
Your parents devout?
Yes.
Very.
Yes. And most of my family is very devout.
Now, here's a question for both of you. Both of you were raised Mormon. Now, we've actually covered in our podcast that the Mormons are really big on, if you want to find out the truth about this, go and pray and get that burning in your bosom. Now, Charlie has actually felt that burning
That's
in his
true.
Bosom. I never have. Have either of you gone and prayed and felt this burning in your bosom?
No.
No.
I have gone and prayed, and when I was 19 and they wanted me to go on a mission, and everybody wanted me to go on a mission, everybody's going on a mission.
I've had heartburn.
I did actually pray, and I felt no burning in my bosom. But I don't know what it would feel like.
Clearly the most righteous member of this group.
Clearly.
Really? You felt it? What does it feel like? Like heartburn?
It's a little burning
sensation. Burning in your bosom.
Exactly what it would state.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I got nothing. I got God didn't like me as much as he liked you.
Obviously he didn't like me either, and we seem to be the friendliest ones here.
Clearly. Yeah, I know. Exactly. That's why God doesn't like us.
Yeah, Layton's bosom is merely lactated.
Oh, did I forget those little pads again? Now, which one of you actually got your patriarchal blessing? Now, this is something we haven't covered just yet, But we are going to get into patriarchal blessings. I got mine, Charlie had his, and we're going to read them on the show as soon as we find them. Did either of you get your patriarchal blessings?
I did not get my patriarchal blessing.
I did get a patriarchal blessing.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty young, right? When does that happen? 12?
About 12, 13, sometimes 14.
Yeah, I was early teens.
It's possible that I did, and I just don't remember because it wasn't that big a deal to me. But.
Blocked it from your memory.
But do you remember what your patriarchal said?
No. I remember that it was an old man that lived up the street, and he told me that I had a different name than I.
Yeah, that's right. You get like a Mormon right. name.
I get like a Mormon or a Mormon family name or a tribe. That's what
tribe
it was.
Of Ephraim,
yeah, the
or
tribe
like
of Israel.
I got a tribe and I don't remember what tribe it was, and I really don't care. But I think my dad still got it written down. Yeah, that's the thing. He gave me a transcription.
Yeah.
There was a woman there transcribing. I think it was his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd you bring that up? That was random.
Well, it just kind of cracked me up because I was just I found the actual case that has my patriarchal blessing in it. So we're probably going to be doing a podcast on it. And one of the big things, what brought it up is you were talking about how there was so much pressure on going on a mission.
Yeah.
And I remember that my patriarchal blessing put me in the tribe, I believe, of Ephraim, which is supposed to be the teaching tribe. So you're supposed to be teachers or out there spreading the word.
You can only be one of two tribes because the lost 10 tribes, you can't be
actually
descended from them.
My black adopted brothers and sisters were part of the
black.
Because they're black. They were part of a different tribe. Jeez. I can't even remember the name of the tribe. But they were.
Okay.
But yeah, I got a huge amount of pressure when I turned 19 because my patriarchal blessing kept being thrown in my face saying, well, wait, you're of the tribe of Ephraim. You should be a teacher. You should be out there teaching.
So here you are.
Yep, here I am. I am teaching.
Can that get me laid? Seriously?
Well, not. It doesn't work so well.
I think I was the tribe of Ephraim as well because I remember it started with an E. So
that's probably.
What I'd like is for you guys to get your patriarchal blessing and see how similar they are. Does the church follow a script, like a format?
This guy follows a format.
Yeah.
All my buddies had more or less the same blessing.
Yeah, I think...
All my buddies that lived in the ward,
My wife was really disappointed when she compared it to her sister, and it was nearly the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things that made me go...
Isn't that similar with...
This is, again, an old guy that lives up the street.
When you go to the temple and you get your secret name, it's like there's one name they use that whole day, so everyone...
Yeah, it's everybody that same day. Yeah.
Coincidentally, they all were named the same thing in heaven.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's awesome.
My favorite about mine is that it actually stated that I was going to have more wealth than most of the people here on the earth.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
My parents kept saying to me, well, that's great. Well, you can take care of us when we get to our old age.
See, they really believe this stuff.
They really
That's what kills me.
Yeah, it's your own special... prophecy or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's the most ridiculous thing, and I haven't thought about it in 30 years, and thanks for bringing that up all of a sudden.
I hope.
I'm going to email my dad and see if he'll send it to me.
Yeah, get it. Actually, read it. Find out what it says, because, I mean, I remember some in my seminary class actually had it in their patriarchal blessing that they were going to be serving missions during World War III.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Wow. So they haven't gone on their missions yet, I'm guessing.
Couples missions.
Either that or...
It'll be a couple missions.
There we go.
There's always an out.
I don't know. They'll probably just say that the war in Iraq is the World War III or something like that. They'll twist it somehow.
Even in heaven, you can go on a mission, I understand.
That's right.
There you go. Maybe that's what they're going to do.
Well, you know, missionaries in heaven will be teaching all of us here. You think we're making it to heaven?
They keep saying we're the last generation, right?
Yeah.
The last generation before Christ comes. That's it.
I've been saying that for 2,000 years.
Yes, they have, actually. In fact, Jesus was saying that.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm telling my little boy that, so... So actually, he's the last generation.
So sooner or later, it is going to be the last generation, is what you're saying.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Yeah, get your sex in now, little boy.
Seriously.
Yeah. Jesus is coming.
No, I think the biggest thing that was drilled into me is that this was the end of times. And, oh yeah, I mean, my dad, we actually bought some land up in some mountains. We built a house up there, and the whole point of this house was to become self-reliant. In fact, we had a stream running behind the house where my dad was attempting to hook in a generator so we could generate our own electricity. So when the end of times came, that we would be self-sufficient. I mean, my
How much generation can you really... Electricity can you really generate?
From a stream?
From a stream. You remember the stream off the back of my house? Yeah, it wasn't
a couple light bulbs.
His plan was to run at least the fridge with this. I mean, I think you're better off
going solar power for that.
Yeah, you gotta keep your beer cold.
So your dad moved from Park City to Harriman because he thought World War III was going, or the Second Coming of Christ.
Yeah, that was one of the main reasons.
My parents here?
Wow.
This would have been in the late 80s. Late 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
So
not too late.
In high school, so we're talking 86, 87.
Yeah, yeah.
That is really dumb.
My parents bought...
Well, thanks for commenting on my dad that way. Thank you.
No offense to your dad or anything.
My parents bought their house in Park City precisely because it was surrounded by four mountains, so mountains on all sides. So when the nuclear war happened, the fallout would go up, but it wouldn't go past the mountains.
That was one of the reasons why my dad bought up there. I mean, we actually had to use dynamite to blow out the foundation of this house because it was on volcanic rock.
Nice.
And so because it was so sturdy, my dad actually believed that this was meant to be and that we were going to make our stand here. And I love that he went out and he planted like 400 of these little fruit trees to try and get them to grow so we would have some food. Every single one of them either died or was eaten by deer.
Nice.
You can't grow fruit up in the mountains.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. But I mean, just this craziness was beaten into my head. And I remember as a child, remembering the prophecy of the moon turning red with blood and that being one of the signs. And I remember there was some sort of fire up in the mountains. And I walked out to go milk the cows this one night. And I looked up, and I got to tell you, my heart stopped. I'm like, oh, shit.
The moon was all red.
The moon was all red from the smoke.
It's coming. Yeah.
That was a good story.
I think when the apocalypse comes, yeah. I've got some cans of peaches or something.
Well, see, that's crazy. I mean,
I got an extra pack of smokes in the car.
There you go.
Remember, maybe those for trading purposes.
For trading purposes, obviously.
Hey, yeah.
The streets are supposed to run red with blood, and two prophets are supposed to rise up in Israel and then be killed and then rise up again 3 days later.
You know,
these are other signs.
I'd like to point out that you and I are kind of like prophets.
You know, when I was going to the University of Utah, so this dates me a little bit, Tom Barbieri was on the Call 910.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was running a show where he had some Mormon guy on there who was convinced that the two prophets in the end times were Rush Limbaugh and Howard Stern.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
He said, he goes, so this is what you believe, right? And he goes, I don't believe it. It has been revealed to me as true.
Oh,
I know it's true. It's absolutely true because Howard Stern's a Jew, and you know one of the prophets has to be a Jew, and he's telling the truth about all this, you know, the celebrities and blah blah blah. And Rush Limbaugh, of course, is telling the truth. So there you have it. He said, "I guarantee it." When they have been on the air for, I don't know, however many, it was like 3 years or something that they were supposed to be preaching in Revelations. When they're on the air for that long, that's going to be the end. It's going to trigger the end of the world.
Really? So this guy looked at Howard Stern, who half of his shows are Show Me Your Boobies.
Yeah.
And he thought this guy was a prophet.
He was a prophet because he was using mass media.
Doesn't that put us like right near the end of tribulation right now?
That puts us well past it.
Nice.
I mean, how long has he been on the air? Even Rush Limbaugh.
Good long time.
Does anybody even listen to Rush Limbaugh anymore?
People love him.
I think people still listen to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the people I hang around with.
Well, how did your charter even form? I'm very curious about this, because you invited me down, and it was basically, we go down to the local bar, and we drink, and we just discuss things.
Yeah, so I became interested in the skeptics movement. You may be aware of it. The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, a couple other podcasts out there.
I've heard
some
of it.
The most.
Yes, yes, I wonder where we've heard that.
Anyway, I don't know, it just resonated with me when I discovered that. It's the philosophical viewpoint that most resonated with what I have always felt, which is rationalism, and always looking at something and whatever the question is at hand, looking at the evidence. and then basing your conclusions on the quality of the evidence. So I formed the group to kind of foster a community for those of us here in the city that that are of that same mindset. We started about a year ago. We try to have two events a month, although sometimes we often only have the one where we do. We meet down at the bar, we hang out, and we'll have, 10 people, 20 people.
What bar? Come on, sell it.
Piper Down, which is a bar here in Salt Lake City, downtown.
Well, you got to build it up.
Yeah. They allow skeptics in?
We have to keep quiet.
There's a small corner that they're allowed to go to. It's kind of like segregation back in the 50s.
You remember watching a Bruce Lee movie? I think it was Fist of Fury or Chinese Connection, where he walks through this fence and there's a guard at the door and there's a sign that says, "No dogs or Chinese allowed." And so the guard stops Bruce Lee from going in. And then Bruce Lee takes a couple steps back and the guard allows a lady with a dog to go in. I imagine that's what skeptics are like.
They let the skeptics in as long as they're not Scottish. It's okay.
That's right. It is.
They won't take the Scots.
And then we try to have another event once a month where we have like a book club meeting. We had a Darwin Day event in February that was very well attended. We had about 60 people at that event. So
you must have had every skeptic in Salt Lake City there.
Pretty much. Yeah. I think this is
a dying breed out here.
I think it included, because it was promoted with the Utah Atheist group and a couple other groups that were interested and allied on the same philosophical page.
I had no idea these groups existed.
And now you do.
You shouldn't point out that there were more groups that attended, because that really points towards you inflating your numbers of 250.
There were 60 in his group.
60 in his group. Ah,
one or two.
There were 60 people at... So it was actually a Salt City Skeptics event, but it was was picked up by some of the other groups and said, "Hey,
he's still inflating."
It's not inflating.
Whatever.
There are only so many skeptics. There's a lot of overlap in these groups.
There's a lot of overlap.
All right, I'll accept
the overlap.
Only so
many skeptics in Utah to go around.
Yeah, well.
So,
is there no skeptics in Utah? There's got to be some, right?
There's at least 60.
Yeah.
That may be a maximum number.
Yeah, and I'm thinking for Utah, they send out their little missionaries. We got to start sending out some skeptic missionaries.
Knocking on doors.
Yeah.
John, do you know who John Safran is?
No.
He's an Australian comedian. He had a show in Australia where he actually came to Salt Lake City as an atheist missionary and knocks on doors.
What
do you know about atheism, and would you like to know more? And he did not get a very positive reception.
In Utah, I'm surprised they didn't stone him.
I like the idea, though. It's
you can look
idea.
That video up on YouTube. It's very funny.
Well, how did you become involved with this, David? You like the beer?
I'm looking for a little help. I don't know. There's nobody around that thinks straight, so I just like to be with people who think straight. That's all.
You found the group on Facebook, right?
On Facebook. Yeah, go to Facebook. Whatever.
See, there are some uses for Facebook.
I refuse to get on Facebook.
You got to have a religiosity page of Facebook.
Why not?
You know, all I see where Facebook is concerned, and you can feel my pain here, is my brother and his wife pretending like they love each other so much that they, on almost a 5-minute basis, are sending, "Oh, I love my wife when she walks around singing. She looks so cute."
Yeah, I put them on.
Oh, I'm gonna puke.
I hit.
There's
them.
A.
I
hit oh, that's
them.
Awful.
There's a great blog.
Facebook does in fact suck. Yeah.
There's a great blog called STFU Marrieds, and they they have screenshots of people's Facebook statuses that are sickeningly sweet like
excellent.
That. It's hilarious.
I'm sure my brother's has been their number one for a very long time.
Oh, there's. He had stuff. I hit him for a while, and I went back to check and see if he was still doing it.
He's kind of a masochist, as you can tell.
I'm at work. I can't wait to get home to my wife. Or, my wife is cooking. She's so beautiful. Or, she's leaning
oh
over.
God.
Can't believe how hot my wife is. Yeah. Like,
and the funny thing
I'm
is...
getting a cavity here. This is so sweet.
It's just so sickening. And I actually took my girlfriend, probably the only time I've ever taken a woman up to meet my family. And they were there to play cards. And after we left, she's like, "They annoy me." She's like, I can't stand being around them. Do they actually believe that this is the way two couples should act? So yes, that's my crazy story.
All right. Well, God bless him. All right.
So anyway, what kind of picture do you guys have up there for your Facebook? I mean,
me right now, I have my dog, but you know, last week I had a for the group.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
The group, I have a little crappy logo I designed.
Wow, you just pointed out to everybody that you have a Facebook page. Are you sending out these little messages too?
Absolutely, yeah.
Except it's him and his dog.
Yeah, it's between, dog. Oh, when I spread that peanut butter. Oh.
No, on the group page, I've just got a little logo that says Salt City Skeptics. We've got a meetup page and
very tasteful.
Facebook page and a meetup page, and then a blog.
Excellent.
Now, how long have you guys been doing this?
Just shy of a year.
Aren't you paying attention?
Was I supposed to? I've got a beer in my hand.
A year.
Is somebody coming over today? I don't know.
Yeah, what was that? Where am I?
Again? How many beers have you had?
Well, considering you can't even pronounce them. You know.
Modelo Especial.
Now you can.
You're talking to me about pronunciation.
Yes, I am.
It's impressive.
Hey, in the words of Eva, we cannot really.
It's not an anxious language.
Hey, Spanish has been around long enough.
Yeah, can't use that. So, you got any up and coming meet and greets?
We always have the second Wednesday of every month. We meet at the bar here, Pipertown. And then the other events variable. We don't have
what time? What time?
7 o'clock.
Where? At Pipertown?
Pipertown, 1492 what? South State Street.
Yeah, thank you for giving an address, because when you said Pipertown, I thought it was some sort of little library or something.
You've never been to Pipertown?
Never been to Pipertown.
That's a fun little Irish bar. That's why the Scottish joke. You didn't get that.
No. Well, see, I haven't even been in Utah for like 10 years, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
We should go to Pipertown.
That sounds good to me. I was supposed to, but...
In the back room?
Second Wednesday of every month.
Yeah, somebody got sick.
Yeah,
I got
really sick this last week, so I couldn't even come to the event. But
sounds like a cop-out to me.
Apparently, yeah. It was like the most well-attended event ever from other people who were there. I was kind of disappointed.
They're like, hey, the president's not here.
Everybody come, we can actually have fun this week.
We don't have to talk about Jesus anymore.
I do kind of rule with an iron fist.
Excellent.
So let me ask you, what was the most heated discussion you guys have ever had out there?
I think there's two different factions in the skeptics movement, specifically in regards to global warming. Because the thing about skepticism, we talk about religion an awful lot, but you know, we also talk about other issues having to do with the sciences and I think global warming is oftentimes a soft spot with some parts of the skeptics movement. I personally think that the science is pretty overwhelming by this point.
I didn't think there was any doubt.
There is a little bit, but I don't think that that's too active in our group right now. We don't really get into a whole lot of disagreement, you know. I think most people there are coming from the same perspective
what's the baptism ritual for getting into your group?
Are there any sacrifices to Baal, because we do those regularly?
we're more of a Marduk group, if you so,
Molech. I didn't even know who these gods were until Jack Chick brought them up.
Yeah, no. We had to do research on it. We found out who they were. Now we're really interested in them.
Awesome.
We, you know, go to meetup.com, facebook.com, sign up.
Do you sprinkle water, or do you
do a search
go
for Salt City
immersion?
Skeptics? Yeah, you know, you probably should have a beer.
Maybe that's it.
So basically,
there.
You have to break the word of wisdom to be part of your skeptics
that's,
group.
That's true, yeah. Occasionally, we'll meet at a coffee shop, so if you're not a beer drinker, you can drink coffee instead, which is equally...
Breaking it.
And can you have a donut?
Donuts are forbidden.
Only in their season.
Chips and salsa?
Only in their season.
Only in moderation. That's right.
Only if they are plucked before they fall onto the ground. Now, David, you were actually telling me, I got to bring this up because it was just very fascinating to me. You have a brother who is an atheist who actually still attends the Mormon church, and he has a wife who believes in Mormonism, but she doesn't attend. I have to ask you to relay
this
story.
You just outed his brother. on a national podcast, international.
His wife doesn't listen, and neither does... You know, honestly, I don't know if he would define himself as an atheist. He just doesn't believe the Mormon bullshit, that's all.
But they all think he's Mormon, right?
But do they all think he's Mormon?
Director? They have to.
His ward does, yeah. I guess, but I'm not giving his name. Well, I guess I gave my name.
Well,
my name is very common in this state.
I don't know if you picked up on that. We'll just bleep out your last name.
Excellent. Anyway, he's a... great guy, and he's not a believer, and he loves the Mormons. I don't know. He loves the Mormons. His wife is a believer and has some kind of an anxiety disorder. I don't know. She doesn't like going to church because it messes with her head. I don't know. She's just screwed up in the head.
She's allergic to church.
She's allergic to people, basically. It's large gatherings that bug her. But my brother loves large gatherings, and he loves people, and he loves the music, and he loves leading the choir, and he loves playing the piano, and he loves the music, and he'd go every week whether he was married or not.
See, that is just absolutely
fascinating. It is the weirdest thing when I figured it out, because, I don't know, I always knew he didn't care too much about it, but once he told me he didn't believe, I went, well, why are you going? And I assumed it was going to be, he was going to answer that his wife makes him go, or he's got to keep the peace in the house, and, you know, and it was going to be this eye roll moment, but he said, no, he doesn't go. Probably ought to bleep these names out.
We'll take care of that in the post-production.
Anyway, he says, no, she doesn't go. And I said, well, okay, she believes, right? Because her family's big Mormons. And he says, oh, yeah, she believes. She would never leave the church. But she can't go to church because it screws with her head. She gets all anxiety. And she's nuts. She's just... a little crazy, and I love her to death, and I don't have anything against her. She's just a little on the neurotic side.
A little nuts.
Yeah.
So she doesn't go. She goes, you know, once a month or so. She'll be able to get herself together. But he goes every week. Yeah, he loves it. He loves the people, and his favorite part is sitting there in sacrament meeting and making up stories about the people who were talking.
It's really interesting, because the two least interesting things to me about the Mormon Church are the hymns and the people talking.
I know, exactly. That's what I told him. It's, the music is not that interesting. He says, well, some of it is, and besides, when you play it, it's interesting. Singing and listening to it is not that interesting.
Yeah,
but
playing it
is more interesting. And the choir is, you know, that's it's a whole different thing. And he practices twice a week, and
See, I've just never found any interest whatsoever in hymns. They just irritate me.
He's a musician, so he finds a different interest in it. I don't think it's the lyrics.
I don't know. Yeah. It halfway reminded me of my brother, who actually had a discussion with Charlie, where Charlie was asking him why he chose Mormonism, and my brother comes back and says, well, I went out and I searched all of the other churches.
Really?
And And found that that Mormonism was the one that fit my morals the best. And Charlie, what was your response to this?
I said, the shocking, first of all, because you were brought up Mormon.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you
had... That is odd, yeah. Who'd have thunk it?
What a coincidence.
Wow.
Second of all, if you have a pre-existing set of morals and ethics, why do you need religion? And he just sort of stared at me.
Yeah, that makes way too much sense.
See, my brother, he's always been known to be a little bit slow-witted. And so, I mean, even to tell a joke, he has to mull it over for a half hour.
It's so funny what...
to decide whether or not it's funny.
Yeah, make sure he gets the punchline right.
In our Sunday schools at home, in our basement or my grandma's basement, we'd sing the hymns, but we'd only sing the first verse. So when I was dating my wife, she took me to church. We sang the first verse, and I was closing the book, and I'm like, oh my God, they're still singing.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Three more verses. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of the hymns either.
Oh, the worst ones are, they've got the four different sections of it, and then they've got like 5 and 6 down on the bottom. And then you flip the page, and there's more on the back, and you're like, why won't this hymn die?
I don't know. Maybe I blame my brother. I used to like to sing as loud as I could and make everybody go, huh? What?
Well, see, that was for a different reason, though. You were
It wasn't because I loved the music. It was because I loved to make people wonder, who's that guy yelling in the back?
Not me. I'd mouth the words. I wouldn't sing it.
Oh, I had the worst voice. And it used to really amuse me to make people cringe. It's like, oh, that guy's singing. Is he singing again?
I think I might have enjoyed going to church with you. I wouldn't have slept so much.
Yeah. I don't know. I had to have some fun in church, didn't I?
Wow, that's kind of an oxymoron there. Fun in church?
I found all kinds of fun. I don't know.
I think probably my funnest time in church is I was sitting next to a buddy, and he had a necklace, and he was whipping it around his finger, and I had in my hand just a quarter that I was just kind of rolling between my fingers, and the teacher was getting so distracted by my buddy whipping his necklace that he actually stopped and turned and faced my buddy. I mean, this is a crowd of at least 20 kids. Stops and screams at him that it's very distracting and that he should be paying attention, and does he see anybody else out there fiddling with things? And I don't know why I did it, but without skipping a beat, I look up and I'm like, I was playing with my quarter.
Yeah. You look up into the stands and there's the high priest quorum. They're all totally asleep. They got the O sign or the Q sign.
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Yeah, and they're totally asleep.
The organist has fallen asleep. Everybody's fallen asleep.
Right.
Yeah. It's very relaxing.
Yeah, if you need a nap on Sunday, go to the Mormon church.
You need a defibrillator to wake up those high priests.
Well, at that point, there's not even that's going to wake up half of them.
Oh, God.
I was never offended by the boringness. It was always the kids yelling that really made me want to not go. I don't want to go because I'm going to have kids crawling on my back, they're going to be pulling on my hair, and they're going to be passing notes across me, and they're going to be crying, and the mothers are going to be going, and I always hated that the worst.
Yeah, they have speakers where you can take your kids out, but what they need is like an enclosed room.
Yeah.
They just say, all right, everyone with kids, here's your room.
Well, I mean, even with the speakers, half of them didn't even bring it out, because you get into some of these wards where, I mean, babies are popping out right and left. I mean, it's worse than
some of the wards are, like, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like, every third person is under 2 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But you went to church. So did you guys go to church throughout teenagerhood and adulthood?
I went to church up until the time 13. I was maybe 13,
yeah.
maybe 14.
Now who wasn't listening, huh? I remember that.
Oh, come on. 13 or 14?
Probably 18-ish. I don't know. But 18-ish. when I was supposed to be going on a mission, I was still kind of showing up to church.
Yeah. But you didn't believe in it.
But I really didn't believe. So
you're going because your parents went. And
no, that's where my friends were.
Huh.
I remember having to explain in eighth grade to a friend. I called myself agnostic at the time.
In eighth grade?
Yeah, I definitely...
wait, what town did you grow up in?
I grew up in the 90s. I was in mid-90s.
No, town.
Oh,
what town?
I think so, what time?
No.
I grew up in Midvale, so up south.
Oh, wow. Midvale. Yeah. We are talking Mormon Central. You were walking around claiming agnosticism.
Well, it was interesting, because I remember getting into discussions with friends where they were like, asking me... what church I go to or whatever. I'm like, oh, I don't really go to church. Why? I'm not Mormon. What are you? Well, I'm agnostic. What's that? Is that like Satanism?
Yeah.
Yes.
No?
Pretty much.
I'm sacrificing a goat later. Come on over.
Yeah, seriously.
I remember having that exact discussion. It was, yeah. So it's,
is that like Satanism? Really? Somebody asked you that?
Yeah. Hmm. Something to that effect. Might not have been those exact words, but yeah. So... it led to some fun lunchtime discussions in middle school.
Yeah, well, I can imagine, because I was always raised that an agnostic was somebody who deep down believed in God, but were angry or something had driven them away. That was what I was actually raised to believe about agnostics.
Hmm. Why in eighth grade were you an agnostic rather than an atheist?
I think just because I wasn't... there's such a negative stigma attached to the word atheist. I'm sure you guys are well aware of this. Like today I would definitely describe myself as an atheist. At the time I would have said agnostic, and I clung to that identity, I think, because it was more socially acceptable. It wasn't such a scary word. Most of the time, people didn't even know what it meant.
I don't think I knew what it meant until college.
I was once asked by a relative, I'll refrain from saying who.
oh, we don't have to bleep out any names?
I describe myself...
Just don't listen to that. There we go.
I describe myself as an agnostic. This was a little later. This was probably high school. And then, like, 2 months later, she asked me, oh, so have you decided what religion you are now? Like, that's what it meant, is that I was looking for a religion to take its place. But
right.
It was really the philosophical viewpoint that I identified with.
There was a great story about one of the philosophers in the turn of the century. I think it was Bertrand Russell, where he was jailed, I think, for being a conscientious objector to World War I. And late at night, his jailer was asking him, what religion are you? And he said, well, I'm an agnostic. And the jailer goes, oh, well, that's all right. We all believe in the same God anyway. He said that thought kept him warm many nights. He just thought it was another sect of Christianity.
So that's the funny thing, because I was actually raised that there were three types of religion. Either you believed in God, Christianity,
true religion, or false religion, what's the third?
No. True, you believed in some sort of God.
Okay.
Or agnostic, as fence sitters, as my dad always told me, that they just couldn't decide, even though deep down they knew. And then atheists, they were the ones that were the dark ones, basically the ones who had completely turned away from any sort of religious light, and God had left them, was basically how it was described to me growing up.
And kind of like Satan worshippers.
Pretty close.
They'd gone to the dark side. They were Darth Vader.
Yep. They didn't necessarily have to believe in Satan or follow him, but Satan
they
had led them
Satan's
so
plan.
Far.
Yeah.
Led them so far astray that God had left them.
Yeah, my parents taught me that you were born with a certain amount of light, and if you let that light go, and you turned away from Mormonism,
or put it under a bushel,
yeah, you would actually lose it, and you would become stupider and stupider and stupider, because you'd lose that light, and light is intelligence, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yep, I was raised to believe that, too.
That's ringing a bell, too. And it's harder and harder to find the light.
Right.
The more you...
The farther you get away from
it. You get away from it.
Yeah.
This is the way my dad used to describe criminals. He used to always point out, criminals are so stupid. Yeah, look at them. They keep making these mistakes. And he used to always say, well, that's because they've turned away from God. And if you're not going forward, you're going backwards.
Yeah. I remember telling my mom, there are a lot of stupid Mormons, Mom. There are a lot of dumb Mormons.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
Some of them are shooting heroin. Seriously? Honestly, I don't think that's good.
Like you convert to Mormonism and suddenly you're Einstein, you know, you got a PhD.
Well, obviously you're getting smarter day after day. Well, see, that's actually what I was raised to believe, is that the more you read the Book of Mormon, that there was a promise from God that you would get more intelligent as you went.
I remember that too.
Yeah, see?
I haven't thought about this in years, but you're reminding me of all kinds of things.
Oh. And the lighter your skin would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Let me ask you this. Now, both of you, you...
I grew up in a Mormon community.
No,
I had lots of Mormon friends.
Yeah, I think he's the lightest out of all of us.
That's right.
He must still believe somewhat.
Deep down.
Let me ask you this, because I was actually just asked this, and I kid you not, I was asked this by my aunt when she found out that I was breaking up with my current girlfriend. And she actually said to me, I went, and I've been taking these philosophy classes, and in them, and in them, they told me that that if you have sex outside of marriage, you lose the ability to love. And then she turns and looks at me and says, is that true? Now,
you should have said.
Have you ever got that?
You should have said.
I've never heard that.
Look at his face.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. She seriously said,
is that
true?
But I have heard that all through my growing up years. My mother says that on a regular basis.
The ability to love?
In fact,
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No, I'm not even kidding.
That is the worst thing anyone can say. This is your aunt?
This is my aunt. This was said to me 3 weeks ago.
All right, suck my dick.
This was said 3 weeks ago.
Honestly, Leighton, your response should have been, I think it was Nietzsche who said that. I think that was Nietzsche.
Yeah, I hear that.
Could have been Pascal.
Nobody has ever said that. That is so bad of a thing to say to a person.
Wittgenstein, maybe?
Wittgenstein.
It was Kant in his. It was part of his categorical imperative. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Philosophy. She got taught this in a philosophy class.
She seriously told me that she was taking philosophy. Now, I'm going to wave the bullshit flag on the philosophy class because this is what my mother has told me since the time I turned to puberty, is that you lose the ability to love if you have premarital sex or just, you know.
I can guarantee you she didn't hear that in a philosophy class.
No.
Yeah, I would say, no, that's true, but not if you do it in the mouth.
What about the butt?
Kind of. You lose the ability to feel like hot and cold, but you can still feel love.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And, well, she also used to tell, she still tells me that.
Your temperature sensation goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But probably the funniest conversation I had with my mother is when I was up helping her on her roof, and she was out there talking about this woman that was living with us, and this woman was telling my mother, she's like, I don't think he's a virgin. And my mother was sitting there going, oh no, he's a virgin.
And how old were you?
You're talking about you?
I'm talking about me. So my mother was having this argument with this woman.
About whether or not you're a virgin?
Whether or not I was a virgin.
How old are you?
I was probably 25 at this point.
Oh, jeez.
And so
your mother is...
So I'm up on the roof working with her. And she says this to me. She tells me about this conversation, and she says, you know what? I turned to her, and I looked at her, and I said, you know what? My son is a virgin, and how I know is he still has the light around him. He hasn't lost any of his light. So, yes, according to my mother, I was a 25-year-old virgin.
Your mother is making me angry.
Did you ask
I'm
your mother?
My ability to love.
How much light do you lose if you just masturbate?
Yes. You know, I'm just spilling my seed on the ground.
But I've been doing that since I was 13.
Woo! I must not be losing much. That must be the way around the curve.
Matter of fact, just got back from the chimney.
Yeah, in fact, I used some to glue some of the rocking.
You've lost your ability to love your hand.
Yes, yes. Well, just my right hand. My left hand, I'm still in love with. I gotta tell you, David, telling those stories was very entertaining because your entire face was just in disbelief throughout the entire thing.
That is stunning. That is just really a terrible thing to say to a person.
Yeah. Somehow it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. That was my reaction.
Yeah.
I am not surprised.
Just laughed. He's just like, yeah, that sounds about right.
I am not surprised. I was more irritated about the philosophy thing, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's kind of annoying. But I got this from a philosophy class. Really? Yeah, really, yeah. You did?
Really?
How much? Are you sure it wasn't your photography class? Because
they sound similar.
They both start with a PH.
Yeah.
Well, of course, this is the same woman that doesn't allow her children to wear deodorant because she believes it causes cancer.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Huh.
Oh. Yeah. I'll stop taking showers.
Well, my mother used to sneak
that.
That's
deodorant. How the Neanderthals died out.
Yeah, by deodorant?
Lack of deodorant.
Like.
That's why my mother started making me smoke cigarettes.
She was afraid that the deodorant would cause you cancer.
Yeah, counteract the
deodorant. Yeah, I can understand that.
I'm joking, of course.
But, now, I'm not the only one who was just had these just wild things thrown at me. You two have to have something where either your mom or dad or somebody around you just said something that just stopped you in your tracks like that.
Yeah. I can't tell it.
come on, you gotta tell it. I can see the smile on your face. Spit it out.
That same guy who's the bishop in my sister's current ward that she's not a member of now. he was the bishop, or he's the stake counselor or something. Not quite the stake president, but something like that. When we were little kids. Anyway, he lived behind us. Good guy, and I don't want to tell it that story about it, but he heard a rumor because I yelled at my brother on the bus to the school. I yelled at him that did he have a good time fucking the cat this morning? Because I thought that was amusing, him yelling across the bus, and he yells that no, she did some. I don't know. He had a joke about how he didn't have a good time fucking the cat this morning. And so Mel started yapping like this, and Mel started yapping. And this isn't quite what you were looking for, I suppose.
Oh, I'm still waiting for it. This is entertaining this far.
He's not the stake president. Maybe he was. I don't know. Anyway, he shows up to harassed my brother, and I guess my dad had heard about it, and he sat him down, and he's like 11 years old at the time. He sits my brother down and says, "Now, do you know what bestiality is?"
Oh dear.
And my brother's, no. And then the cat comes up and he grabs the cat and he's like petting the cat. And he's all petting the cat and
well, let me go get some peanut butter and we'll demonstrate some
and
bestiality.
So he describes it, my dad's there and he describes what bestiality is and my brother says, "You talking about the cat here? You talking about this cat right here?" You know, no. And I guess they ended that little meeting of love or whatever, and they were convinced that Paul had this problem with cat fucking, that he needed to repent, and they had a whole big laundry list of things he needed to do to rid himself of this evil problem that he had, and he left that room and came right down to where I was, and I was listening. We had a giant laugh. The point is, Mormons are retards.
Yeah.
And
nice work.
It's very clear that this is a joke. It's clear to everybody who was passing the rumor, except maybe his daughter who probably heard the rumor from somebody who heard the rumor. I don't know where you heard it.
It's a combination of not having a sense of humor and being in a position where that lack of sense of humor and lack of knowledge of the world, I think.
Exactly, complete lack
naivete
of knowledge.
And
grown adults. It's just the dumbest thing. He's a grown adult. They're two grown adults. My dad and his...
But they hear this stuff in their bishops' meetings, right?
Yeah, they hear this, you know, I hear it from my daughter, you know, and...
Bestiality is a real problem.
Yes, it is.
How would you feel if you didn't help this poor kid out who's fucking his cat?
So does that mean I should get rid of the donkey in the background?
Your cat! Get rid of your cat!
Can I say fucking on this podcast?
We'll bleep it out.
Okay. Or not.
Or
we
not.
We can put an explicit tag on it.
Yeah, we can put an explicit tag.
Probably ought to bleep out it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the weirdest thing. That's not exactly a Mormon thing, but it's kind of a... Mormons don't have any kind of sense of humor, or don't have any kind of sense of what's really going on in the world.
I tell you what always shocks me is when I'm talking to people that I think are intelligent, and my parents, and I don't know why this shocks me, but my wife's parents, and they'll say something like, you know, well, the flood happened, right? Like the flood happened.
Yeah.
Global worldwide flood. Or, you know, the earth is less than 10,000 years old. It's, you know, 6,000 years old. And that stuff just shocks me because you don't expect normal, rational people to believe this crap. But it shocks me every time. I shouldn't be shocked, but it shocks me every time.
I can kind of one-up you on that. I mean, growing up, I always thought my dad was very intelligent. He went to college. Of course, it was BYU. And, you know,
that's college. But it's a fine school.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Fine hotties down there.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. A lot of inbreeding around here really creates some hot Mormons. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some yummy co-eds. And everybody makes fun of BYU co-eds, but there's some yummy ones. Yeah. Okay, tell your story.
Anyway, well, my father, he actually studied geology and zoology in college. And yet he still...
Zoology.
Whatever. You say it your way, I say it my way.
Z-O-O-L.
Tomato.
So he actually studied geology and this stuff. And
zoology?
Zoology. No, shut up. But he studied this stuff, and he still believes that the flood happened and that Darwin is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, convinced.
Convinced,
and
absolutely.
Really? Before the flood, there was no rainbow. God put the rainbow in the sky.
That was actually hollered at me as my mother was crying when I pointed out the
Heard you tell that story.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, but then again, I mean, like I said, growing up, I thought my dad was intelligent. And one of the things he used to always say is that profanity is the uneducated mind's way of expressing itself.
Yeah. I'll buy that.
No, profanity is just fun.
But if you have something to say, there's better ways to say it.
Sometimes, no other word will fit.
Thank you very much. That's what I'm
saying. Sometimes it is the exact.
From, though.
I can understand.
Somebody who swears an awful lot is really telling you they have nothing to say.
Yeah. No, I'll agree to it to a point.
You know, honestly, anyway.
Wow.
And I swear too much.
Meh.
I think it may be indicative of a limited vocabulary. Maybe indicative of a limited vocabulary, but maybe not.
Yeah, but then again.
But at other times, I get what you're saying.
Sometimes it's the only
way to get a point across.
Yeah. When you whip out some of those words, everybody knows exactly what the point is.
When you hear the story of the Book of Mormon, really, there's no other words that come to mind.
Yeah, there's.
Good fucking Christ.
A bunch of dipshits.
Stupid.
Well,
all my intelligence goes away. I'm like, oh, God, I suck. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's just idiotic. All
right,
moving along.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, you don't have any of those stories where your parents or friends just absolutely shocked you with the stupidity?
I remember when I was pretty young, I don't know, 6 or 7, for Christmas, my parents had gotten me a magic eight ball, you know, and playing with it with my friends, and it's nothing. It's a toy. Took it over to a friend's house. She kicked me out, and I didn't see that friend again for 6 months.
Witchcraft.
Because it was witchcraft. What? It was divining.
The magic eight
ball. Yeah, magic eight ball.
That's dumb.
Yep.
Speaking of which, do you have any Ouija board stories? My parents, like my mother swears to God that her sister was doing the Ouija board, and Satan appeared like on the wall next to her, and so they had to throw out the Ouija board.
As a teenager, I remember tons of stories, not from my parents, but a lot of stories about so-and-so was using a Ouija board, and they went down to that old BYA academy, and they blah, 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 blah. Devil came, and now whatever.
Satan actually made an appearance.
See, it's funny because I heard
we
got to
buy a Ouija board. It sounds like Walmart.
Right.
All the time.
You can buy them at Walmart. See, I grew up on these stories, and I remember this because at the age of 16, all my buddies and I were getting together, and I went down and bought a Ouija board just to kind of surprise everybody. And so I whipped this thing out, and I do mean whip it out, and... And
no one could tell.
Yeah. In fact, it just went unnoticed. But I put it out there and I set the thing up, and half of my buddies actually left.
Yeah.
They said,
like they're offended.
We cannot be around this. And so the couple.
Because they felt a bad spirit.
Yeah, because they felt a bad spirit.
Yes.
And so they leave, and the ones that stayed behind, we tried our damnedest to get this thing to work, and we could not get anything.
You know, what I love is that you have to have your finger on the little thing. It can't just move around on its own, right?
Yeah.
It's got
to
be moved by the finger.
Idiomotor effect at play right there.
Yeah. We ought to buy a Ouija board and just set it aside during one of these podcasts and see if it moves at all. We'll ask it questions.
But you have to have everybody, it does not move.
Then he's going to cheat.
Clearly.
That's how it works.
Wait. Why would you specify that I would be the one that would cheat?
All right. Does it count if you have your penises on it at the same time?
Okay, that's okay. I'm sorry. I can't.
See, this is what I have to deal with.
Thank you
very
much. I don't mind it, but that's a little gay.
This is what I have to deal with.
It would decrease the amount of cheating.
See, now, I would just like to point out that this is why he's going to say that you're the great one.
That's right, we haven't gotten to that yet.
No, I've been saving that question for the very end.
We got about 5 minutes left. Now's the time.
Well, I don't know, is 5 minutes enough time for you to tell us which one's more great?
Are you going
and why?
You really have to go into depth
on this.
Are you going
to be able to recover from the shock and chagrin?
Well, I'm just wondering if I have to cuddle with you after you break down.
So I think when I wrote that review or whatever.
No, truth, you can't
back
down.
I'm giving you the truth.
All right.
I'm just setting it up. I listened to the first, few episodes, and I was enjoying the show, but there were a couple things that kind of bugged me. I remember listening to the Glenn Beck episode, and I can't stand Glenn Beck. He's a horrible human being.
Who can at this point?
But I remember there was a point where I think it was Leighton who was criticizing Glenn Beck for crying and called him a woman and it's stuff like that that's like to me, there's enough things to criticize people like Glenn Beck about.
Did I not call you on that in the podcast?
Yes, you did call me on
Did I not call you misogynist in the podcast?
That
I have a couple other comments like that, women? Things like that. Vindicated. They kind of grated against me, but you know, so that's kind of what I was getting at. But
vindicated.
Wait. Have I grown on you since?
Yes. No. Yeah. I think that as the show's gone on, you know, it's.
You kind of just figure out that I'm just pulling just shit lame. Out of my ass to yeah. make people laugh, that I don't even believe the stuff that
sure.
I'm saying.
Sure, and I don't think that you're misogynist.
I don't know. I do. You put it up, yeah. Well, Charlie does.
I do think he's a misogynist.
But that's only because you've known me the longest.
Deep down inside, he's a misogynist, absolutely.
I do my best.
But, so anyway, that's probably the biggest thing that I found to complain about was those kind of comments. They're just kind of like,
You do realize because of you, now for the end of forever, yes. he's going to constantly point out that I'm the yes. one dragging down this podcast.
Absolutely.
Couldn't you have at least lied? I mean, didn't I pay you enough when you came
in? I've got some evidence to back up my assertion.
Wait. No. We've only got one person on here. You can't have a panel of one
person. He represents 250 people. He's the president of an organization.
I don't know that he's speaking. Hypothetically.
I'm
serious.
Well, that's true. He's the president. And
I don't listen to the podcast yet.
For a poll. Yeah, I've seriously never listened to the podcast.
He hasn't had time to be all graded right, by you.
Before, I will say, I'm speaking for all right, myself. All right. I'm not speaking for anybody else. But,
Does endorse your stance on this one?
We probably shouldn't mention my place of work.
So far... He's out of three
so
people.
If you could edit that one out.
Since it's like incredibly conservative.
Why, is there anybody safe now?
Excellent.
That would reveal the address of where we are. And,
well, that I'm okay with.
The Albertsons where I bought the beer. And,
yeah.
Well, we know where the Drinking Skeptically is going to be.
Yeah, well, you want to advertise that.
Yeah, you want definitely. People to come
here. That's a good
here.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's an okay thing.
Right.
And that way they can point out and go, hey, was that the guy that just kept pointing out
at the daily people? I mean, his family. I've totally heard of him before.
I can't believe it. I've actually talked to his sister.
I'll bet he has friends that listen to this.
But seriously, Glenn Beck is an asshole.
Yeah.
Just to put that out on.
So, therefore, was my comment justified?
No.
No.
Come on.
The assholiness of Glenn Beck is not in question.
Yeah,
because you're comparing him to women.
I'm comparing him to the worst form of woman.
Oh
there are good
why can't we just
women.
Call him an asshole and leave
he,
it at that?
Because see, it's more fun to say he cries like a woman and he's got estrogen in his body.
He has not grown at all. At all.
Yeah, this isn't helping.
I have to say you're not winning any points on that one. But.
Hey, but you're laughing. That's good enough for me.
I'm laughing at you, not with
you.
You
need to
I'm
do a okay podcast on that who's a science fiction writer that's got a name that sounds like Glenn Beck that wrote the Ender series. Remember that guy?
We've already done
one. They did Orson
Scott Card.
Orson Scott Card.
Yeah.
Yep,
it's a good episode.
Seriously, I've got to download these. Yeah.
I think we may have one more listener.
I think this internet thing is going to catch me. I don't know.
I hear they've got it on computers now.
Hey,
should check it out.
We should have a Facebook page. This is living proof. We
there
should
you
have
go.
A Facebook page.
I am not keeping a Facebook page.
Facebook.
Then I can poke you. I can poke you and you can buy me a fake beer.
Here at Irreligiosity we finger Jesus. We don't finger
right.
each other.
You can finger me.
That's right, we can finger you. Just like St. Thomas finger Jesus.
Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Well, that probably wraps it up, right?
Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
All right.
A round of applause.
So, one more time. Skeptical Salt City Skeptics. Salt City Skeptics.
The easiest is to just Google Salt City Skeptics. You'll probably find the blog first, and if you go to, there's links there to the Facebook page and the Meetup page. You can see the latest events there. So.
Great. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Excellent.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do that.